Welcome back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. Well, it is March the 23rd in the year of the Lord, 2023. And, hey, the weather is looking better today. We're getting out of that duck weather thing where everything is drizzly and wet and overcast for about a week at a time here. So it's good to see the sun, even though it's partly cloudy. Temperature is great, and there's a light breeze here where I'm at. It's really nice. So anyway, today I was going to talk about consent for as a necessity for lawful government, and then is it absolute necessary, and what really constitutes lawful government? Is it a consent or something else? Or is it absolutely dependent upon consent? And the other thing is, what establishes consent? Is it a percentage of the population, or does it have to be 100%? Of the population? So this has been a big question. Lysander Spooner wrote on that thing. He was an anarchist. He wrote the book No Treason, The Constitution of No Authority, referring to the United States Constitution of 1789. Or whenever it was fully ratified, I believe 1789. And I believe Mitchell was going to call in later today too on my show to discuss that. And if he does, and before he does, he hasn't yet, which is okay. I was going to read this little thing that I wrote last night, just thinking about it. There's no real powerful authority on what is consent absolutely necessary in order to establish lawful government. And so I'm gonna be thinking about that. So number one, I think I've got about how many points here? I've got about 9 points here. It shouldn't take too long, but it'll take probably the first segment of the show. All right, number one, what establishes consent? 51%. Only one-third of the colonists supported secession from England. And that's kind of a problem then. Did they have authority to then separate from England? Okay, 100%, obviously not required to be lawful, if we look at it that way. Then you got to consider tacit consent. What is tacit consent? That's where you just consent by going along with. You don't really vote. You don't say, I Ron Avery, agree to the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of Texas. But it is presumed by my going along with it that I have tacitly consented to it. Now, the only way to get out from under tacit consent appears to be expatriation, where you say, hey, I really don't like this. I'm not under this Constitution. I'm not under that because I don't agree with it. For name the reasons. Okay, the next point under one is American Constitution was ratified by independent states, presuming 51% of their population of each state. So I guess you could say that the United States Constitution was indeed supported by more than 51% of the population. So then they had the Articles of Confederation. I don't know how they developed those. I'm not a big student of that period or what that was particularly. So, but anyway, Lysander Spooner's big thing was in his book, No Treason, the Constitution of Authority, was that his belief that the people of the United States never consented to the United States Constitution and therefore never had any authority. And he bases this social contract on the idea that without full 100% acceptance and agreement to a constitution, it is not lawful. So that and that's what see that's what he's saying establishes authority for a constitution is that it is authorized by all the people. So I don't believe probably there's ever been a government that has ever been actually voted on and received 100% support of everybody living there. So that would mean that there's never, ever been a government on earth that was lawful. Because a government without authority is simply tyrannical. So really, there's no such thing. And this is what establishes a person as an anarchist. Because anarchists simply believe that there has never been a lawful government and never will be a lawful government. And those who seek it are evil. Okay, then the last point under number one, or point one, is if an office holder claims their authority comes from a constitution, then it is imperative that the government it constituted, of which they are a part, be in strict conformance to its terms of existence, regardless of how it was instituted to begin with. So that's what I basically believe that constitutes a lawful government. Is no matter where you start from, that the Constitution must, or the form of it, must be in strict conformance to its provisions. If somebody claims that their authority comes from that document, then the government itself and all branches of it and everything about it must be in strict conformance to it. Otherwise, and if it's, now, that doesn't mean they can't violate the terms. They could violate the terms, and that would not dissolve a constitution. Because it could, that person that is violating it can be charged with violation and prosecuted under the constitution. But when those in office actually change the terms of the Constitution without the permission of the people, because already they say they've already had the permission of the people, or they wouldn't be having authority anyway. So that's what they have. They have this instrument by which they are working. But if they alter the instrument now without getting approval of the people through the provision prescribed, like an amendment or a direct voting of the population, then you have a dissolved condition where you've altered the government without the permission of the people. Number two If no particular percentage of the population establishes consent, then what does constitute lawful government? I guess what I'm asking is it possible to constitute a lawful government without consent of anybody? And point one under two is any government organization, body, corporation, or whatever, that is able to defend the property of the people in a general area consisting of their lives, liberties, and possessions, I believe that would be a lawful government. And number two, lawful government is any government that protects the property of the people, consent or no consent, as no one can deny approval of a government that does such and be of sound mind. No sane person can deny protection of their own property against harm of all kinds and from all sources, including the government itself. 2.3, individuals do not have an authority in themselves to destroy themselves. 2.2.4, it is a sound presumption that sane people do not want their property destroyed by themselves or others. And in fact, people don't have authority, and this was said by Samuel Adams. Yeah. And he said that it is the greatest absurdity on earth that people would form a government for the protection of their property by giving up their property. So you see, people can't actually destroy their own property either. God did not make us to destroy our own property or our own persons. 2.5, an individual has authority to prevent the suicide of any other individual because none of us are made by ourselves and belong to another, namely the Creator God, and we come and go from life at His will, not our own. So this idea that, we own our bodies, we own ourselves, and we don't need your protection. We can destroy our own property. We have the right to destroy property. We have the right to destroy ourselves. That is not so. And, in fact, it's considered a crime to kill yourself. You must be insane to do that. You've lost grip with reality. Something is seriously wrong because you weren't created with authority to kill yourself. Okay, an individual has authority. I read that. Okay, 2.6, I have authority to save your life from yourself and your property. 2.7, lawfulness authorizes government. Ultimately, that's the main thing. The lawfulness of a government, which is only, its only purpose is to protect property. If it does so, we can't call it anything other than lawful. Now, if consent, number three, if consent is all that is required to make lawful government, then tyranny could be authorized merely by consent rather than lawful purpose. 3.1, voting for consent would be more important when two or more lawful governments were requesting the elimination of the others. 4, the purpose of lawful government is the protection of the property of every individual consisting of their life, liberty, and possessions. It is established and maintained by its execution of the same. Therefore, 4.1, lawful government is established by the initial and continual performance of that function. This does not necessarily imply military action. 4.2, If it fails to perform that function, not the result of outside military action, it is dissolved. Number five, dissolution of lawful government or constitution of the same. Point 5.1, alteration of the terms or functional form of the constituting documents without the approval of the people or the states by the prescribed means. Okay, that's what dissolves government. Turning the government's functions and decision-making over to a foreign power, state, nation, or a union, such as the United Nations. That will dissolve a nation and its constitution. Violation of the trust of the people by a steady stream of government harm evincing a design against the property of the people. That, too, can dissolve a nation. 6. Once a government is dissolved from within by alteration without consent or abrogation or abandonment or violation of trust, no part of it has authority to act for or against the people. 6.1. No part of that dissolved government can be used to reinstitute lawful government, such as constitutional conventions held by the dissolved government or a, quote, convention of states as prescribed in a dissolved union constitution. 6.2, but most important of all, no part of a dissolved government may be used to prevent people from forming a new government to protect their property. 6.3, and also the people are not required to use any part of the dissolved government to establish a new constitution, forming a new government. 7. Establishment of a new lawful government would require a written understanding of what it is and its function or a constitution. 8. Many of the states are dissolved for the same reason, and they too would need to create a new state government by a new state constitution. 9. The new union constitution would be designed to incorporate the new state constitution's terms protecting the independent republics. Well, that's just kind of my take on the whole concept of this this idea that everyone must consent to something that protects their property. If something is protecting your property, you are a lucky person. You should feel blessed by God. Now, if it's violating, if it's harming or encumbering your property, taking your property, putting you at risk with other forces that are harming your property, not protecting your ideas about protection of property, things that are harming your ability to maintain safety for yourself and your property. These are the things that would cause people to say, no, this is not constitutional, this is not lawful government. And they would be correct. Lawful government cannot harm your property. The very purpose of it is to protect your property. It would be a contradiction for lawful government to be harming your property. But this is what's happened. We have lost our property. We are tenants in our own property. Anyway, stay with us. We'll be right back after this word.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery here at republicbroadcasting.org. And I wanted to remind everybody to take a look at the Richard Gage 911.org website. And he will be in Austin speaking between April the 2nd and the 6th. And I will be live streaming a lot of that. And you can get tickets to watch the live stream at richardgage911.org. And you can also, if you want to come out and see him in person and get a great Chinese dinner, you can go to right there. Also, they have tickets for that. And watch his multimedia presentation and get a Chinese dinner, all included for $40. And anyway, we have a caller already, Nancy from California. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, good, good.
I had wanted to call. In fact, I did call yesterday, but it was too late. Mitch is forgetting vote fraud. But even aside from vote fraud, everything you said is more credible. Even so, if we have vote fraud, that's 100% that our system is failing us. So
I agree.
Vote fraud number one.
I agree with that. And also, I would even say this is the reason I don't get too involved in the vote fraud thing. The reason is, because when you have unlawful government that is harming your property anyway, and it's dissolved, it doesn't really much matter who you put in office, as all you're doing is electing tyrants. It's hard
100%.
To get. Yes, it just yeah. So even though it's what it is, I agree with you also, Nancy. What you're saying is that when you come to the point where there's even vote fraud, it means there's hardly anything left that's not been corrupted and ruined.
100%, yes. Like our media, for instance, it feeds people with lies. So those people who are voting and they're voting for their demise, it's because they're basing their knowledge on a pack of lies from the media, which is controlled by the very same people.
I'm so glad you said that, Nancy. I and Mark Anderson right now are creating a PowerPoint based on the mass media cartel and the act of war that is. It is a blockade of the American people from information. And it's against the antitrust laws of the United States. It's against competition. It's against everything. And it is harmful to the people of America. And it causes even the murder of Americans and other people around the world. And it needs to be busted up. The mass media cartel must be, it stands in the way of all progress in America. And
look at what they did. They even went after a sitting president. It's just, they know no bounds.
You're right. I'm convinced that they laugh. The people that own those companies, they laugh at the American people by what they can put over on the American people. They could literally elect and maintain a monkey for president, and they would laugh the whole time.
Yes, they despise us. They think we're stupid for allowing it. And this deception started it from the very get-go with Alexander Hamilton and who he really was and the fact that he was pushing for a central bank. These bankers and these people, their cohorts, they're destroyers. They're evil doers.
I tend to agree with you. I think that they are living under the wrath of God, and that therefore everything they do is twisted. Even though they don't think that, their concepts and ideas are so twisted that all that can come from it is evil.
Well, I really think that there may be some people that call in that are not just regular people. I would not be surprised if there were paid agents calling to confuse issues even at RBN. Because
another thing, though, true, is a lot of people, it takes a while to come around to the ideas you and I are talking about. It's not an overnight deal. And it's taken me a long time to be able to say what I said earlier in the program. And a lot of study, too. Anyway, hang with us, Nancy. We'll be right back after this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite 7 herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Welcome back to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery. And Nancy's hung up, but I'm sure we'll get a little caller a little later on. And I wanted to remind you again check in at richardgage911.org and look at what's coming up in Austin. He'll be there all 4th through the 5th. Actually, the 3rd through the 5th at the Independent National Convention, and I will be live streaming his booth that's set up there, talking about the explosive evidence regarding the World Trade Center, and And also, I will be live streaming his presentations at the Bamboo Garden Chinese restaurant, which will be both on the 2nd, April the 2nd, on a Sunday, and then the big one, the big event out when we have reserved the whole restaurant, will be April the 6th on a Thursday from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., and it'll be it'll take up the whole restaurant, and we'll have the big screen set up and a lot of other things, and it'll be an impressive presentation. And Mark Anderson will also be there and present this presentation on the mass media cartel and the pandemic, and so I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I think you'll enjoy that as well. So we do have a caller, Pat, from Fort Worth. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good. Nice weather for a change here.
Isn't it? Is it drying out a little bit?
Yeah. Compared to the hailstorms we had. We had a hailstorm. It was bigger than golf balls.
Whoa.
Yes, we did. Yes. Broken windows, you name it. But I wanted to say that I'd like to go down there to that thing, but I won't even get to go see Trump in Waco this Saturday.
What's happening in Waco this Saturday?
Trump, President Trump, is having a rally in Waco.
Oh, is he really? I missed that. I didn't know he was going to Waco, and that's this Saturday.
Yes.
Wow, I wish I could kind of go to it too. I mean, that's not too far from me, but it is a pretty good drive. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, talking about media, there's a picture going around on the internet of Trump being arrested.
Has he been arrested or what? What's
no,
with that?
No, it's just totally fake. It's totally fake.
Yeah, well, leave it up to the mass media. You want fake news, tune in, you know.
Well, anyway, there's something called Right Side Broadcasting Network, not RBN, on SBN. And apparently they're actually going to be able to get it on YouTube.
Oh, okay. We could watch the Trump thing in Waco on YouTube this coming Saturday, huh?
Yes, and apparently you can already go there and see that people are already chatting about it.
You can chat on this place at the YouTube. The place is already set up for that. The destination to stream to?
Yeah, my son sent me a
link. Where would we go to chat on that? If somebody wanted to chat on it, where would they go?
As long as the picture's on. But once he gets there, it's moving so fast, you can't really say anything.
Yeah.
Stops it and goes back and said, "What was that?"
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they kind of zoom by. You don't have time to even click on them to respond to them.
I mean, it's
okay, Pat. I have a couple other callers. Do you have something else, a big news to tell us?
Not really. I just wanted to warn people about those pictures that may be going around on the internet, and that's not really Trump.
Okay, not to freak out. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.
That'll be in Waco. Yeah. Appreciate you. Okay, bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bruce, how you doing? You there, Bruce?
Okay. Yes, we sound like we're disconnected. I'm here, Mr. Avery, and I want to thank you very much for your concise interpretation about liens, L-I-E-N-S, and unalienable and all that. So that's excellent. So this ties into what I'm about to say. I'm for no taxes on a primary home, ever. But how is it? Well, you know that's right.
Correct.
How to, how to tax the land, because one or two or three very rich men could own all land. If there's no taxes on the land, so what's the solution? I know there's you can claim a tax deduction for this and that, and I don't even want to say his name, buying up all the farmland and all. What is the solution to that? And if people say, oh, no taxes on the primary home, we won't be able to fund the schools and this and that. Well, we'll find a way around that. You leave me and my home alone, my primary home. If I own one home, I don't pay anything for that. And, you know, other people who own more homes are going to pay something for it. I think that's fair. What about this land problem of people buying up large swaths of land, taking our country from us in effect? Thank you.
Yes. Well, it's just because they have access to the capital, and we no longer have the average America no longer has access to the capital, because the capital has been taken over by a certain segment of the population.
You mean Washington, D.C.? The solution to that is no more professional lobbyists. You or I, as everyday citizens, can lobby.
No, I think it's the entire system. It's not a matter of lobbyists. It's a matter of a corrupt system.
Right. That's one way of knocking out a big problem. No more professional lobbyists from China or wherever. Is causing... Okay.
Well, okay. That's a good idea, Bruce. You got any other ideas?
Well, I could learn a lot from you, and you may be able to learn a lot from me. But what about this... Oh, okay, the whole system, in order to solve that, just a few people owning the land of this country.
Well, it's the result of owning the media and owning the land and owning the utilities and the platforms all comes from one source, the owning of the distribution of money. Our financial system, the Federal Reserve, the banking cartel has essentially turned all property over to those banks, over to those people, and that's what's corrupted the entire thing. And people like you and I have no access to that capital, where other people that are of the persuasion and mindset that they have easier access to that capital. And that's why we're having a concentration of everything in the hands of the same few people,
What's the solution to that?
Well, we have to have a new, entirely new government, I believe, is the only solution.
And it seems like this BRICS union of other countries, it's a little complex. They got off the SWIFT payment system, and they're starting some other type of payment system. I'm even thinking that our country, taking bits and pieces of how they have set up the money structure, would work for us.
Yes, yes. I think we definitely, and that,
you will
you
talk
know,
about that, yeah. I've got things to do, and I'm sorry, and keep going, please. You're excellent. You make a lot of sense.
Well, all right. I appreciate that, Bruce. Thanks for calling. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Mitchell, I see you're calling back. Fire away.
Ron, what's going on?
Oh,
I just thought we'll touch on real quick.
Okay.
Bruce was asking how we can fund the schools. Well, three things come to mind. Start tapping into the CAFR funds, number one. Number two, quit the excessive military spending. And number three, get rid of the Federal Reserve. We have a lot of money left over.
I like all those plans, Mitchell. Keep going.
Hey, listen, I think we all agree that this particular iteration of government is not legitimate. I think you are saying that before. Nancy mentioned that. I think Bruce was leaning in that direction just now. Lysander Spooner makes that point, and I would agree with that. But I think what you're advocating, Ron, is something brand new. I think you just said that. Is that correct?
Well, tell me what that is. I like to to do something brand new. So what is that you're saying?
By the way, I think that everyone should, I mean, I sourced out that document. It's essay number 6 of Lysander Spooner, and he wrote that in 1867. So that was a year prior to all this 14th Amendment, the illegitimate ratification of the 14th Amendment. But Lysander Spooner, when he wrote that essay talking about the Constitution has no authority, he maintains that virtually nobody consented to it. And
that's
it's beautifully
right.
written.
That's
and
right.
he was in 1867, so he was there. That's what's so important about that essay. He was there, and that's what I appreciate about Michael Gaddy. Is Mike Gaddy is on the RBN, and he's going to source documents.
Yeah,
and he's absolutely eviscerating, you know, the common idea that people hold about the Constitution and so forth.
Yes,
but you're talking about a lawful government, but you said that the government has to have authority, so it would be an authoritarian government. What I want to know.
Go ahead.
No, I was listening to your bullet points, and when you talk about the country and the population, I'm not an atheist, but there's a bunch of people that are atheists. So when you bring in religion and the God factor, there's a whole bunch of people in this population, you know, this 336 million people population, there's a whole bunch of people that don't even listen to that.
That's right. And in fact, a lot of the people that believe the Constitution has no authority are also of that persuasion. In fact, most anarchists that I know who would agree with Lysander Spooner also are atheists. But go ahead.
So we're, really what we're having is a discussion between what would be called a minarchist society, and that's what you're advocating, versus, I won't use anarchist, I'll call it a voluntarist society. And real quick, I'll read this. Voluntarism. Voluntarism is the belief that all interactions should be voluntary and, by necessity, free of external coercion. In other words, the government authority and force and coercion. It is heavily related to the NAP due to its rejection of initiating force against others while still allowing for the defensive actions. Now, NAP is the non-aggression principles. It's basically no one has a right to rape, no one has a right to steal, no one has a right to murder, no one has a right to coerce people, and no one, if you contract, you have to stay true to your word. So the non-aggression principles, and these are universally agreed upon actions of human beings in society, actually, even globally speaking. So that's the voluntarist ideology. So I'll refrain from using anarchy because I know that you are in vehement opposition to anything having to do with anarchy. but the question is, Ron, going to your idea of this lawful government. First of all, would this lawful government, now we're talking about a brand new thing. Okay, so would this, would it feature the Bill of Rights that the constitutional representative republic government system that we have right now, would it feature the Bill of Rights?
Well, I have not gotten into structuring it. I have thought about it. And in fact, I can't say that I haven't. At somewhere a few years ago, I did attempt to write a new constitution. And I don't know that I got as far as a Bill of Rights. I was still, I think, struggling with how to structure the financial system and still be functioning at all and all that kind of thing. But I believe if you started from the premise that all lawful government must protect all property of the people and even from the government itself, then if you just kept that concept going all the way through it, you know, certainly, I would think you'd have a Bill of Rights. Yeah, I guess but what you want is a bill of the government cannot be harming property. That's the essence.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because when you talk about the Bill of Rights, and I've spoken to you about this before. For example, the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment, and you know this, Ron, because you fought some of these battles. But it has the language of eminent domain in the latter part of the Fifth Amendment. And they even call it the Takings Clause.
Yes.
And it says, nor be deprived of life, liberty, and property. There's the Lockean Trinity. Nor be deprived of life, liberty, and property. And notice it doesn't call them rights. It just says, nor be deprived of life, liberty, and property without due process of law. And when private property is taken for public use, just compensation is due. Now, that's your collective. In other words, the state is claiming the right to take a person's property.
Yes.
So how could that be protecting a person's property if they're saying right there that, well, through due process of law, we can take your property for the public use? In other words, we can take an individual's property for the use of the collective. How is that protecting the individual's property?
Well, it's not. I do believe, for instance, if there was a war going on and you needed to be at a particular place on somebody's property to defend it, I don't think you should have to be spending too much time with getting permission. But after the thing is over, you should be able to repair such things. I mean, I don't think the government should have authority to completely take what you have forever. And
well, this protecting government. How far can they go in the name of protecting us? Can they surveil us? I mean, how far does this authoritarian government that you're talking about? How far, in the name of protecting the people, can they troops in our house during wartime?
Here's what would have to be said, Mitchell, is that. The government cannot protect your property they cannot harm anyone's property in the name of protecting everyone's property. Now that's what we're seeing, is they will sacrifice your property or a property of a group of people for the salvation or for the benefit of the whole population. That's what all this COVID-19 garbage was about. Doing that same, making you conform for the benefit of all. Go ahead.
It's an interesting side note. Again, going back to the Fifth Amendment, there's a thing called the lockdown that was mandated by the government was that was people lost their business. That should have been. A shoe-in to be considered a regulatory takings. All those people that were told, you've got a lockdown and you lost your restaurant, you lost your business, they should be justly compensated per the latter part of the Fifth Amendment. And from
Absolutely.
What I understand to date, not one damn person has received anything. But they would be entitled to on the basis of a regulatory takings. But at any rate, let me go to the next thing, Ron. Do you really have to have an authoritarian statist apparatus for people to help protect each other's property?
Well, I don't like the word you're using, authoritarian. You know, when you say authoritarian government, that means authority, exercising authority they don't have, or exercising power they don't have. That's normally what authoritarian means. But if you just say simply government, That presumes that they have authority to do what they're doing. But go ahead.
I still have a problem with what we were talking about yesterday. You were saying that it doesn't – yesterday you were saying that it doesn't necessarily require 100% of the individuals to consent to be governed. And today you were saying it doesn't even take any.
No, I actually believe that. I believe that a lawful government, if a lawful government did nothing but protect your property, that's what government is. If all it does is protect the property of the people, it's lawful.
Right, and that's what a good friend does, and that's what a security service could do. There's other ways of doing exactly what you're talking about without saying certain
people
will be in the position of power.
Well, I know that's the voluntarianism where you have 15,000 different corporations and you're buying, you joined a corporation for the protection of your house and one for the protection of your car, and you've got all these different corporations running around that are protecting your property and
let me run through some of these bullet points because it's 2:54 and I want to try to get a few things in before the show's over.
Go ahead.
How about this one right here? does the lawful government idea that you're speaking of, is that government going to have a monopoly on providing the needed services and protections for society? In other words, if your lawful government sets up an FDA, and this is an example that I've been looking to a lot lately, could we the people get together, get some backing, and set up our own FDA facilities that would compete in a competitive marketplace and also compete with the government FDA? Would you agree to that? Would you like that? Could that happen in your government system that you're talking about?
I've not considered that. You're talking about having a government FDA, and your Food and Drug Administration. You're talking about
exactly,
and then
the FDA,
have a
the
private
FDA,
FDA. I mean, that how many private FDAs would you want?
As many as it's in the private sector.
Well, now let me ask you: if the FDA did nothing but protect your property, what would be problem with the FDA? I don't get this.
Well, go listen to Robert Higgs talk about that.
Let me summarize really what you're saying.
Look at what the FDA
because
is
your concept
with this vaccination
Mitchell, the concept you're starting with, the presumption you have in your presentation, is that government is evil, and if you give it any power at all or any authority at all, it will harm your property. So you're asking me, would I mind if we had another FDA set up by the people that supposedly did what? Protect your property. Well, right. if the first one protects
and
your property,
not,
why would you have six
entity.
Or eight of them
not,
protecting
these,
your
these
property?
These facilities have nothing to do with the government FDA at all. And then we can see which one does the better job.
Well... Yeah, I don't know, man. I just
I would argue, like, that
sounds like
done right. Don't let the government do it. I would argue that the government FDA, the one we have now, that it would die on the vine slowly by way of attrition because the people would choose. They would choose, you know, purchase the food and so on and so forth. They would want the ones where the private sector are checking because, you know, they would have better. But at any rate,
All right. Well, thank you, Mitchell. I'll have to do some thinking.
The last thing I want to say here is a lot of things that the government system does, it can't do simply on a numerical basis. Case in point, I just found out that the plea bargaining process started just after the Civil War. And we all know that when you look into plea bargaining, we all know that's not constitutional. But
okay.
But you had a population in 1870 of, I think, 38 million people.
Mitchell, I'm going to have to stop you. I'm going to have to stop you because we flat run out of time. We got 5 seconds left.
Okay,
so thanks for calling, and I'm sorry, Lark, we didn't get to you. Let's continue this conversation on Tuesday. See you then.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN.
free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.